Proverbs 29, verse 18. King James is what I'm reading because I like the way it says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That first verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. That is the main idea. Most of us, I hate to say it that way, but with the idea of no vision, so many people think that what it's talking about is, look, I'm having a vision. I see the angels descending. Nope, that's not the way it's what it's talking about. It's if you don't have a vision and understanding of what's going on at this point, is what it's saying. If you don't see or understand your future, the people will perish. They have no motivation to go forward. They don't see a point or a reason. And that's what Passover and the Lord's Supper is giving to us. That's why we're having the Lord's Supper today. And I want to bring this out. There was a major shift. There is a major shift in the understanding of the world when Jesus came along and started explaining. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So he was going on saying, okay, folks, focus on what I'm telling you, is what he's saying. I'm going to explain it in ways that you will understand, and when I'm done, it's going to shift your understanding of the world, your understanding for the reason why you are here. This will all change, and it will give you the vision to go on. So, when I get through with this, I hope to have used the word destiny, destination, and Christian's progress. We'll start with Passover. The Passover, as we know, the lamb was slain, the blood was taken, it was put on the doorpost and the lintel of the door, and the Lord said, anybody that's got the blood on the door, when the death angel comes, he shall pass over. And they passed over the houses, and it didn't matter if it was Jewish. It could have been any person who was a God-fearer, and if they had put blood on their doorpost, the angel would have seen it and passed over them. That's an interesting thing. And the reason is because by the time they got done with all the plagues and then the Passover, when the children of Israel left Egypt, you read that and it will say, and a mixed multitude left Egypt. So there was more than just the Israelites that walked out of Egypt. There was a mixed multitude, meaning there was Gentiles that converted and said, there is a God and I understand. And they caught the vision of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this Passover is more than just the passing over. Actually, it was put on the doorpost, and the door is the way out. God was saying, I'm going to show you a way out. Going out that door the next morning after all this had happened and the death angel had flown over Egypt and the eldest child of the livestock and of the Pharaoh's house and all the Egyptians had passed away. Once they had passed over, there was a lot of converts and said, there is a true God and I'm going to follow Him. And they had the vision, they had the understanding, and they chose to go after the God of Israel. But where this comes in and what sets this all up is when Abraham was still alive, God had came to him and explained to him, you do what I tell you. You leave your family. Leave the land of the Chaldees. Leave Ur. And he did. And he started following God's leading. And he goes north up the rivers and he stops at a place called Haran. And then after he's there a while and his father passes away, he comes on down into what we know as the Promised Land. And God had said, your children will inherit this land after 400 years of having a rough time and bondage in Egypt. Right now, he didn't have a place the size of a sandal to call his own there at that time. And so, when he gets there to this land, God said, this is all going to be your children's. They're going to come back, but it's going to take 400 years. And the idea was, he gave the children, he gave Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and it got passed on down through the 12 sons and into the tribes, saying, this is what's going to happen. But remember, you have a destiny. After 400 years, even though you have a terrible time, no matter what the problem, no matter what your day-to-day issues are, Children of Israel, you have a destiny. You will pack up and you will leave and you'll go to a promised land. They had a destiny to fulfill, and God had placed a calling on them. Now, there is a philosophy in this world. We need to drag this over here. There is a philosophy in this world. And the devil is the one that set this whole situation up. And he did not want the children of Israel or us Christians to grasp what Jesus was laying out. At the time of Israel and they were in Egypt, they were exposed to all the idol worship and all the bad things. I was reading some of the gods. They prayed to and worshipped the dung beetle. Yep, the little bug that rolls up dung. Roll it up, and they said that was a representation of their great sun god. And I'm going, ooh, and you guys pray to this? And it's a long story, and it's very whacked out, but that's what they believe. And God was saying, don't follow these people. Don't follow their ways. You are different. You have a destiny. There is only one God and a true God. But the teaching of the Egyptian gods, the teaching of the Egyptians and the Hindus, and several people today, they have been told that life is a wheel like this. And it just turns and turns and turns and turns. And it's just the same thing over and over and over and over again. A never-ending cycle. Oh, have you heard that one before? The circle of life, and it just goes on. And nothing really changes. It's always the same. And so that was important to understand. So all they were saying is, oh, this is the way life is. It's always been a circle and just keeps going on and on and on and on. Did you know that it just goes on forever? And that's their idea of the way life is. Never-ending circle. And just, did you know that the Nordic gods taught that when you die, if you were a valiant warrior and you died in battle, they would come pick you up, take you to a place called Valhalla, and the life would go on. And what you would do is get up every morning and go out to the battlefield and kill each other. And at the end of the day, you would raise up, go back into Valhalla, sit down, they'd have you mead, which is like beer, and food, and you'd sit there and you'd discuss the big battle you had and whether you got killed and what you did and the new technique you tried, whether you won or not. You'd go to bed, get up the next morning, you'd all traipse back out to the battlefield and have another battle, kill each other, get back up, go back in. And they said that was heaven, repeated over and over and over and over again. And I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a heaven to me, where you're going to be killing or get killed every day. And that's the way they understood it. And that is what the world wanted us to maintain as our vision. Now, some people say, oh, that sounds really great. It's kind of like they think Groundhog Day would be a great thing to experience if you saw the movie. But as you saw the movie, you saw the guy did not like the movie. He did not like repeating Groundhog Day over and over and over and over and over. And he was glad finally by the end of the movie, and so was I. I mean, it was funny at places, but after a while you're going, oh, come on, get to the end of this movie so I can get out of here. I had run out of popcorn by that time. And when you're a child, it sounds good. I think about it this way. As a kid, I would get on a merry-go-round. And I loved it. Around, Flora had a great big merry-go-round. I'm not talking the kind with the horses even. Just a merry-go-round, and I'd sit on it. And us kids, all of us cousins, would push each other. And around and around and around and around. And it sounds like fun. But after a while, you get sick of just going around constantly, and you get off. But with what the understanding and the philosophy of the time was, you can't get off. And as you live your life, you would get involved in a rat race or a hamster wheel situation where it just goes on and on and on. And finally, you get to the place you're saying, I am so bored with my life. Everything is a repeat. It's a repeat and it's boring. And after a while, and you get really older, you start saying, this is just nightmarish. Is this not ever going to end? I just want it to quit. The quality stinks. I'm over with this. This is a miserable thing. I'm tired of my life and I'm tired of the misery. And that's just what the devil wanted. He doesn't like us. One main reason, he hates God. The second reason is when God created humanity, he made us in the likeness of him. and he despises and hates that. And now he knew Jesus had come, and he hadn't quite figured out how all this was going to work. Because Paul said, had they understood that Jesus was going to resurrect, they would have never killed that guy. They would have never have done that, because that is what causes redemption. And that why it was so upsetting is because Jesus had changed the understanding of what was going on. And that's one of the things that makes this good news, is our understanding of reality has changed. Christ came to show us the way and the truth. Satan goes, I don't quite understand what he's going to do with this, but I want him dead, because that would just prove the circle of life. He was born, he lived, he died. Ha! I will win. And Jesus, by showing a resurrection, by demonstrating a resurrection, he disproved the circle of life. Now let me show you something here. I had this shown to me when I was in, I'm going to say, 8th grade. But, you know, this wheel of life thing, the teacher said to us, I want you to draw a diagram of what happens when a bicycle wheel is going down a road. And almost all of us, I really can't remember if anybody drew it any different. It seems like there was one, and if it was, it was Donna Wager. Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, she was so smart. All of us went like this. And our wheels was going backwards, but like this. And the teacher said, that is not what happens. And we're like, yeah, it is. He goes, no. And he took a wheel just like this, and he put it down, and he says, now watch. See the mark? It rolls, it rolls, it rolls. Hits again. It rolls, it rolls, it rolls. And he said, do you not see what's happening? He goes, no, this is the way it actually plays out. It starts, it hits, it hits, it hits, it hits, it hits. And he said, there is no, it is always hit, hit, leaps and bounds going down a road. And we're all looking, wow, that's true. And I always wondered why that stuck to me. And here's the reason why. Because Jesus came along and he said, I'm freeing you. I want you to understand this. Life is not an endless circle like this. Life does just not go around in a cycle and the same thing over and over. He says, for the people who understand, for the people with the vision, I'm teaching you something. I'm going to teach you and I'm going to demonstrate to you that this is not the way life is. This is the way life is. Yes, there are trends. But he said, watch this. He died. Circle of life. He rose and he said, that is not part of the circle of life. I have done something that nobody else has ever done. I have rose from the dead. I have risen and I am alive to die no more. Things change. He's saying, for the Christian who accepts Christ and understands what's going on, he's going, it's not a rat race. It's always a progression. Leaps and bounds forward. Every time you go through a situation in your life, you're always moving forward. This is a change that Christianity brought. We are making progress in our life. That is a concept that was not comprehended up until the time of Jesus Christ. We are traveling a line. We are going someplace. He's saying we as Christians have a destiny. That was so earth-shattering. Oh my gosh, they finally figured out time and they understood the value of real time and calendars. And they figured it was just an amazing transformation in society as Christians started saying, this is the truth. There is a resurrection. There is a Savior. And it's not a circle. Jesus broke us out of that idea. We are making progress. Christ's death was the doorway. Just like the Israelites had a doorway, and Jesus is the door, and he opened it up, and he said, you can go out that doorway. And as soon as the Israelites on that morning took that step out, he said, you are on a journey. You are going someplace. You are going to end up in the promised land. You do what I say, and we will get you there. It took two generations, the one that left, and then the one that was born on the way, and the ones that was under 20 that left. They did make it just like it was told. After 400 years, they did enter the promised land. And that's what he's saying to us. Christians, you have a certain and an absolute hope. This is what's going to happen. There is a place called heaven, and it's for you, and it's right out there. Don't fall for this idea here. Don't get depressed. Don't get upset. Don't despair. Because as a Christian, no matter what's going on in your life, you are making progress. You are moving forward to a place. I am leading you. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's uphill. Sometimes it's downhill. Sometimes it's a rough way. But I will get you through your entire life. You have a destiny. I don't know about you, but I'm going, that is so cool. I never envisioned myself as having a destiny. I am destined. Yeah, that's great. You are destined. And if you have a destiny, that means you have a destination. You are going someplace. We are going to go to a place called heaven. We are going to be someplace that's totally fabulous. I realize you read in the book of Revelation and what you start off, and this people usually only get partway through the book before they go, I can't grasp this. You get to the part where it's like, you're in the throne room and there's all these angels and they're all singing hallelujah, holy, 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 and all these other people who you don't know or understand and where they popped in at, and there's multitudes and they're all singing holy, 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 and there's these clouds of glory and these other people are over there playing harps and holy, 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 and you go, that just doesn't sound like a real fun place to be. You have a destiny. That is just one small portion of what heaven is. The other part of it, if you continue to read through the book of Revelation, you'll finally come to the place where it describes what our destiny is, what our destination is going to be like. He said there is a city. There's a city of God whose foundations was laid by God Himself. There is a river, and that river is running out there crystal clear, and you can drink out of it, and it's known as the river of life, and along that river is the trees, and every trees, plural, not just one, every one of those trees are planted along, and they're known as the trees of life, and they have fruit, 12 different kind in every season. They come up with a different fruit, and it doesn't say that you can just eat, well, I can only eat the fruit. You can juice it if you want to. And you can drink life juice, life berries, life fruit, have a slice of life citrus. I don't know what the fruits are going to be like, but they must be wonderful. And then it says it's the city, so that means it's not just a little river and some trees. It's a city. There's a vastness to it. A city. And if you got a city, you know, a real good city has roads, it has parks, it has fountains, it has dwelling places. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, a mansion. And if I go and prepare a place to you, I shall doubtless come back and pick you up, that where I am, you may be also. Whoa! Our destiny is more than just standing around in a temple. She's going, holy, holy, holy. We have a place to dwell forevermore. We have parks. And here's something I would like to throw in there. Is there's another place where it talks about, and at that time, and this is the way we read it, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Actually, it's the lion shall lay down with the calf. But alliteration sounds better. The lion will lay down with the lamb, and the calf and the bear and the wolves, and they'll all get along together, and these fearsome beasts, and it says, and a little child shall lead them. That usually is taken out of context, and it's always like, somebody's doing something, and some kid says something, and go, oh, this kid's brilliant, we should all follow the little kid. That's not what the context is. The context is this. There's lions and tigers and bears, and the only oh my is, isn't that cute? Oh my, look, that little kid is leading them, the fierce beast that normally we would be going, stay away from them, don't go up and pet it. The child is going to be leading them like they're having a little parade with those little pull toys that you used to see in the art pictures. And they'd be pulling behind them and having a parade. And that's what it's talking about. This place is going to be completely safe for any person to dwell in. There is no evil there. And fearsome beast will just be parade animals for little kids to show forth and to say, look what I've got. This is my pet panther. and I'm going to ride, and Baloo the bear is going to carry me, and I've got Tony over here, the tiger, and Tony, Smokey the bear, and I'd Pooh the rabbit, or the bear, whatever, just pick all the names you want. And that is how wonderful the place that we are destined to go to. And therefore, what he is also saying to us, he's saying, I have shown you something. Do not despair and do not be deceived. Your life is going someplace. Your life means something. And you have been broken out of this endless circle. You have been broken out and you have been set free. And whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Shall be free indeed. When we accept that Jesus is our personal Savior, the next step we take is a journey to a destination. And we become followers who have a destiny to live. We need to walk out there and say, I have a destiny. No matter how bad it gets, I have a destiny. And I'll tell you about my destination. And I will invite you to come with me. You can choose not to, but I would invite you to come with me. And that's what we're telling people all along the way. Doesn't matter where you're at or what you've been doing or what you have done. We've all made mistakes in our life. This is the time to accept Jesus Christ. And the next step you take is part of your destiny. And if you've trusted Him, He will get you to the place that I just described. And that doesn't hold a candle to what is actually going on. Paul said, the half has not been told of the things that God has prepared for His children. I don't know, but that city sounds pretty fantastic now. And he goes, that is tish-tosh, Doyle. Wait till you get there. It is incredible. When we take communion today, remember, this is a proclamation. Yes, Jesus died, and we're acknowledging that. He died. But when we stand up and walk out of here, it says we do show His death until He comes again. And we're saying, yep, He died and His sacrifice paid for our sins. But when we stand up and walk out, we're saying, and He's coming back. We have a destiny and we will be with Him forever. And it's going to be glorious. The devil's going to say to his people, ha ha, fooled you. You went someplace too, but you didn't realize where you were going. Welcome to my eternal abode. You chose not to be a child of destiny. You turned down Jesus Christ. At this time, if the elders would come forward, we will have the Lord's Supper.